Thanks, Ellie. It is pretty high, a bit high for me. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you today. Special welcome to Teresa and her husband, Jeremy. Thanks for coming. Thanks for sharing your story. Last week, as we've worked our way through Colossians, we focused on how God has made us alive in Christ. Christ died, was buried, and is now raised physically. The old me is dead and buried, spiritually speaking, and I am now a new man in Christ. Spiritually, I'm alive. Today, we see that new life, a picture of the character of our new life as we think about being clothed with Christ. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it testifies about the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. And we thank you, Father, that your word is powerful to change us, that the gospel transforms us from the inside out. Father, thank you that we are indeed made alive in Christ by your Spirit to live a new and transformed life. And we pray you'll help us this morning to understand what that life looks like as we focus our minds on this passage from Colossians 3. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by saying a little bit about cognitive behavioral therapy, otherwise known as CBT. Cognitive behavioral therapy is a type of psychotherapy based on the idea that how you think affects how you feel. And it can help in many different situations. If you are thinking negatively about yourself or a situation and that's causing you problems, CBT kind of comes in to help in that situation. You work with a therapist to recognize patterns of thinking and behavior that cause you problems. Why do I mention this morning? Well, to highlight the powerful connection between thinking and behavior. I think we're all aware of that. We know that our thinking shapes the way that we behave, and certainly CBT is all about that. But also, Colossians chapter 3 is actually all about that. You might call Colossians chapter 3 Christian CBT. In fact, Colossians 3 is foundational text for biblical counselling, which is all about the application of Scripture to sin and suffering in our life. Sin and suffering is something that every single one of us experiences in this world. So Colossians 3 is for every single one of us. And it begins with our new mindset. Okay, our behaviour is shaped by our thinking. So let's look at the new mindset. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, so when it comes to mindset, the world speaks most commonly about either having a positive or negative mindset, or a growth mindset, or a fixed mindset. A growth mindset views one's abilities as capable of expansion. A fixed mindset views our capabilities as limited. So according to the mindset guru, her name is Carol Dweck, mindsets transform, quote, transform the notions of effort and failure. If we believe we can grow Efforts promise rewards and failures can become sources of development. Without that underlying growth mindset, effort and failure simply drain us. Okay, so we're in the psychological realm again here. Interesting enough, but what does the Bible say? What are the two fundamental mindsets that shape the way that we live? Verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We can have either a heavenly mindset or an earthly one. As Christians who have been raised with Christ, who have experienced a spiritual death, burial, and resurrection, the mindset should be heavenly. Focused on our risen Lord, who has given us our new and everlasting life. Our old mindset was earthly. So speaking personally, it was all about me and my life and my pleasure and doing what I wanted when I wanted. That's an earthly mindset. But the old me is dead and buried. God has changed my mindset to focus on Christ. Not that I'm perfect, far from it. There is an ongoing process of transformation. Renewal, Paul calls it in verse 10. Let's read on. We want to take off the olds from verse 5. So, with a heavenly mindset, before I read this, with a heavenly mindset, my number one focus in life is not things of this world, not financial security or comfort or pleasure or even happiness. These are earthly things. They are no longer my primary focus. My focus is, verse 5, to put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. Human nature hasn't changed much, has it? We often think that things are getting worse. And perhaps they are in a sense. Perhaps in the West they are getting worse, because it's only been in recent decades that the West has walked away from God and biblical principles that founded our civilization. But that said, Paul is describing first century Rome here. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. I mean, this is also 21st century Sydney, Australia. Human nature remains the same. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. We're surrounded by examples, and we ourselves are not immune. Do not lie to each other. Are our lives open and transparent? Or are we hiding behind a facade of respectability, or worse, godliness? What does Paul say we should do with such sinful behaviour? Ignore it. Not worry so much about it, because in the end I'm forgiven. Concede to them, wave the white flag, that's just who I am. None of us are perfect. These are the sins that will be with me until glory. No, put to death. Put to death. You can't get any stronger than that, really, can you? Put it to death. There's no mucking around here. He's saying, kill it off. Rid yourselves, verse 8, but now you must also rid yourselves, or more literally, take off. Likewise, verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off. So kill it, take it off, take it off. It's time for our wardrobe makeover. I looked up wardrobe makeover during the week and was introduced to stylist Sally. And I'll just read a little bit. Sorry to disappoint you, but this is me. This is where she starts. Style isn't something that you were born with, but it is something you can learn. The information that you will learn during a wardrobe edit will help you to better dress for your shape, disguise any problem areas, and most importantly, show off those assets. Our body shape tips are practical, easy to follow, and specifically written for you. Looking stylish is as much about knowing what not to wear as it is about knowing what suits you. Our advice is to the point, objective and honest, but never judgmental or critical. So it's a wardrobe edit. Out with the old and in with the new improved you. Quite seriously, the Christian with the heavenly mindset is focused on, as an absolute priority before anything else, killing off the sin in their life and replacing it with the new and better ways. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This verse, particularly verse 10, is an amazing verse. Do you see in verse 10 what God is doing in the world? Do you see what God is doing in you? His priority work in you and in your life and in us together as a church. He is renewing us in knowledge in the image of the Creator. It's a bit of a mouthful, that verse, isn't it? Renewal in the knowledge in the image of the Creator. Let's go back to the beginning of the Bible just for a minute. God created Adam and Eve in his image. Adam and Eve sinned, and what happened to the image? Well, still there, they're still in the image of God, but the image was marred by sin. We are made in the image of God, but sin mars that image. Colossians chapter 1 says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the true man who rules over creation. He is sin-free. In him, the old me is dead and buried, and I am being renewed into the image of God, and so are you. You and I, as we take off the old and put on the new, are becoming more and more like Jesus. We are becoming more like the people that we were created to be before sin mucked up everything in our life. This is no small thing. This is fullness of life in Christ. This is truly living, being renewed into the image of God. And it's available to all. And that's the point of verse 11. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Renewal into the image of God is available to all. So if you've had a gutful of your life, if you hate the person that you have become, if sin and guilt and shame is hanging around your neck, then you can come to Christ and be renewed, be transformed into the person that God wants you to be, free and full. Even if life is good and you are relatively happy with who you are, come to Christ for completeness. We all know about before and after shots. I couldn't resist showing some cosmetic surgery disasters. You ready for these? Before and after. See you now, Kim?
Sorry, I
keep... See both sides?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, but that's a disaster. Who is it?
Megan Fox.
In one sense, you laugh. In the other sense, it's desperately sad, isn't it? You know who that is? I remember the before, vaguely. That's enough. Thankfully, our before and after is a significant improvement. It's an internal change. It's a change of person. It's a change of character. Listen to how the aftershot is described here. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, so this is who we are now in Christ. We're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Holy meaning that God has set us apart to be his distinct people in the world. And in what sense are we to be distinct? Well, primarily in our character, as we've talked about. So let me continue. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Don't you love the new wardrobe? Much better than the old one. We are to be clothed with Christ-like characters, virtues, behaviours, love as the coverall. And then there's more in verse 15 and following. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I love this description of church life. The message of Christ, the gospel being front and center, and not only a pastor teaching, but the congregation teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom. And the singing that he refers to, so obviously written pre-COVID, the singing is expressive, it's emotional, it comes from a deep sense of gratitude in the heart. The singing is directed towards God and to one another. We're teaching one another as we sing. Songs are a great way to learn and remember gospel truth. And verse 17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the new man, the new woman, the renewed church, the gathering of those who are being renewed into the image of God. Mindset shaped by the gospel, that is a heavenly one, focused on Christ, our Lord. And with that mindset, putting off the old, killing sin in our life, and putting on the new, knowing that it is God who is the one at work in us by his Spirit, renewing us into the likeness of Christ. That's what God is doing in the world. That's what God is doing in your work, in your life. That's his priority for your life, renewing you into the image of Jesus. whatever work, whatever play, whatever circumstance, he's renewing you into the image of Jesus. That's his priority. I think Simon's going to come forward. Is that right, Simon? Straight up. He's going to lead us in a prayer of confession together.